You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. This week, I'm joined by fellow news correspondents Noel Barden and Anne O'Donoghue. We have a number of interesting stories to cover today, including our front page story, which focuses on a reduction in farm inspections. We will discuss the current situation in Irish politics after yesterday's news that Leo Varadkar will be stepping down as Taoiseach and leader of the Fine Gael party. And we also, as usual, have our more farmer stories. Anne writes in this week's paper that plastic recycling charges are on the rise. And we will also give you the lowdown on lamb and milk prices too. So let's get straight into it. Noel, I'll come to you first. You have this week's front pager. Small farmers are going to be ruled out of farm inspections, you write this week. How small is small?
Yeah, so this was big news that came from the European Commission on Friday. We've been hearing a lot since the farmer protests that really kicked off this year right across Europe. So the IFA had its tractor protests around every county in the country, but there was protests going on in Spain and Brussels, in Poland. There was very significant farmer protests, and I suppose the Commission had been saying that they'd give some sort of response to try and listen to farmers who are complaining about regulation and red tape and bring forward some sort of a package. And this is what we got on Friday. So the headline piece, I suppose, is that the Commission has proposed, and it's looking like member states will back it. And it, generally, it's looking like it'll have strong backing from MEPs, but it is still a proposal, but it does look like there is quite a bit of weight behind it. So the headline issue, I suppose, would be that every farmer under 10 hectares would be exempted from CAP inspections, controls, checks, and then subsequent from this, from penalties to their payments. So it's quite a big step. It'd leave all farmers under 25 acres kind of outside of conditionality, which is the term that's now used for what farmers would be more familiar with, cross compliance. So it'd be a fairly significant step. And I suppose we're still waiting to see some of the detail as to how this is going to work, because the Commission has said that while there won't be any inspections or checks or penalties, these farmers will still have to abide by cross compliance. So these are the rules that cover everything from tagging, animal identification, right up to slurry and slurry storage, slurry spreading, then the biodiversity side of things and the retention of non-productive features and hedgerows and everything else. So there's quite a bit in it. We're unsure how exactly it's going to work, but the Commission has said that this will leave small farmers more time to farm, to kind of dedicate to their core farming activities instead of having to worry about the paperwork and inspections. And it will also leave departments of agriculture right across the EU more free to carry out other work. So I suppose we would have seen huge delays with acres payments and even TAMs and other payments. It was quite significant delays. So it said that it heard back from member states that the first year this new cap saw a couple of hiccups on the administration side of things. So it's trying to free up manpower on the department side as well. There were a couple of other flexibilities announced, and staying on the inspections, Commission also said that it wants to kind of have a review of the area monitoring system. Now, farmers will know this as the satellite checks, and there's a traffic light system there. So if the satellite checks come up all fine, it'll be green. If it looks like there's some issue, but they're not fully sure it's an issue, then you'll be orange. And if it is very clear that there has been an issue in something that a farmer has done, it's been a straight red. And the orange, I suppose, would require a follow-up on the ground inspection. But essentially what the Commission is saying is that if it really kind of focuses on improving this satellite system, it can cut the number of boots on the ground inspections in half for all other farmers. So this is the farmers over 10 hectares. So 1% of these farmers above 10 hectares will still need to be inspected, but about only half of these inspections that are from their current levels will actually need to be an inspector calling out to the farm and visiting the farmer. So essentially, a lot of these farmers won't even know that their farms are being inspected. And there's been other news on the tillage front. Again, it was quite a big package, and it's proposed that there'll be flexibilities granted to the GIACs. So these are kind of the terms and the conditions of CAP that relate to the environment. And tillage farmers would know these as the 2 or 3 crop rule, as crop rotation, and the other one is green cover or stubble cultivation. So the commission is saying that farmers should have more choice to pick what they want to do in these, and that certain crops or soil types should be exempted if member states want. So that's kind of, I suppose, throwing it back to the Department of Agriculture in Dublin rather than the European Commission in Brussels as to what counts as meeting these requirements or doesn't count as meeting these requirements. And it's also said that there should just generally be more flexibility in these to take account of weather conditions. So our tillage editor, Siobhan, she would have covered off last year that farmers weren't really happy that they had to cultivate stubbles within, I'm not sure if it was 10 or 14 days of harvest, to have green cover established. So what the commission is saying is that it wants member states to just, I suppose, have the freedom to say if it is a particularly wet year, the farmers don't need to go out with machinery because they could end up doing more harm than good to the soil and land's environmental condition, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, and I know on page 11 you have a map there as well, and it shows that the percentage of farms smaller than 10 hectares by county, and I suppose that those are important figures there. Farmers, I suppose, will want to see where they lie, but I suppose out of the 28,000 farmers, which is expected will be free of these inspections, that the largest amount is in Mayo, is that right?
Yeah, so Mayo, I suppose, under 10 hectares, 25 acres, it doesn't sound like a lot of land, and you might not think that there's that many farmers farming a farm that small. But it is, as you said, 28,000 farmers. When we go and look at the CSO data, the Chagas National Farm Survey data there, that goes into more depth on some criteria, but it leaves off a certain proportion of farmers kind of under a certain economic threshold. So we went to the CSO data and pulled out that figure of 28,000 farmers. Around 1 in every 5 farmers in the country, but they aren't evenly distributed across the country. So Mayo has the largest number of farmers. Other counties with large number of farmers below this threshold would be Galway and Donegal. And then in terms of the percentage of farmers in each county, Donegal is coming up that 28% of farmers are under the 10 hectare threshold. Mayo would be 27%, Louth would be 27%, and Galway 23%. So it's nearly over a quarter of farmers in quite a few counties, and in Donegal going right up to 28%. So it will be good news for quite a lot of farmers, and it does look like it will affect quite a few more farmers than you might think when you first see these proposals.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's lots of farmers are hoping that these proposals will, or these plans will, come into fruition as well. Noel, on back to page 4, you write that Farm Lab are seeking to rectify BVD testing issues. What happened here, and I suppose how was this affecting farmers?
Yeah, so there were a couple of farmers in touch who had sent off BVD tissue samples to the Roscommon-based BVD testing lab, Farm Lab, as it's called. And essentially these farmers were told that the samples that were sent off, in some cases covering quite a few calves, that something had went wrong maybe in the process, or that the process wasn't, it didn't meet the quality control standards that was needed on the lab's end to issue accurate results. So these farmers were told they'd have to retest calves. Some farmers weren't exactly happy that they'd have to hold on to calves. They'd be hoping to keep moving from the calf shed for as long as it took to get replacement tags and to get results back. But we were in touch with the lab, and what the lab is saying is that it was a technical anomaly. It's the first time that this happened in 12 years of its carrying out of BVD testing. And it was just a quality control issue that just didn't show up the results that could let the lab stand fully over whatever results it would issue from that particular round of tests. So the lab has said that it contacted farmers, tag suppliers to get replacement tissue button tags sent out, and farmers won't be charged for this, and they won't be charged as well for the testing of these samples once they get in the lab. But unfortunately, there was still a bit of hassle for the farmers affected, as we said, in terms of just keeping calves moving during the calving season.
Yeah, I suppose as you're right there, Noel, some farmers, you know, it adds to more calf rearing costs and shed space challenges, and I suppose little issues on the lab side can lead to big, very big issues on farm. So moving on now to politics, Noel, we learned yesterday that Leo Varadkar is going to step down as Taoiseach and leader of his party, Fine Gael. What's the story now? Who do we know who has been ruled out, who has ruled themselves out, I suppose, and who is possibly left in the running for Taoiseach?
So we're recording this just after 12 o'clock on Thursday. So what we know now is that Simon Harris has said that he will run to be the next leader of the party. And he has had quite a bit of backing looking there on social media. There's been quite a few TD senators and MEPs that came out and said that they will support him. There's been no one else that has declared yet, but there could be a few more later in the nominations, I suppose, are open until, I think it's Monday the 25th. So it'll be a short enough window. I suppose Helen McEntee has ruled herself out. And we've yet to hear from another few fairly high profile ministers like Minister for Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue. So Simon Harris, as a lot of our listeners will know, he's from County Wicklow. He's the Minister for Further and Higher Education. And he would have also been Minister for Justice and Minister for Health at different points over the past 4 or 5 years or so. So there's much more, I suppose, to say apart from that. We're still waiting to see what way it kind of, to see who else announces that they might run or that they won't. And it's quite a short enough time frame that the Fine Gael party has to select its next leader. It wants to have this new leader in place before the party's Ordesh, which is at the beginning of April. So if it is contested, I suppose it is an electoral college system with the Fine Gael parliamentary party, which is made up of TDs, senators and MEPs, having a certain chunk of the vote and then the party membership having whatever's left over. So it's definitely one we'll be keeping an eye on. And I suppose just as well to say, once the party leader is selected before the Ordesh, they will still need to be put to the Dáil the week after nominated as Taoiseach, and the Dáil will have to give a majority to this candidate to make them Taoiseach. So if they don't, if there's any dissent from the Green Party or from Fianna Fáil, from government supporters, we could see a general election. But at the moment, that doesn't seem overly likely.
Yeah, I just see yesterday Mary Lou from Sinn Féin was kind of pleading with Leo Varadkar to go to Phoenix Park and ask for, I suppose, the President of Ireland to grant a general election. Do you see that happening? She's saying that's what the people want. Or do you see it kind of going sticking to plan and your 6th of April date? And I suppose by mid-April, Fine Gael will have a new Taoiseach in place.
If the current coalition doesn't want a general election, if their TDs do back whoever the next Fine Gael party leader is, there won't be a general election. And I suppose looking across all the government parties, I wouldn't see anyone who'd be, I suppose, too sure in themselves that they would hold their seat. So I couldn't see that happening for the time being, but I'd say the chances are that they'll hold out until the next budget, see how much they can give back in October, and then go to the polls after that. So I suppose, as you've mentioned, I think every opposition party has called for a general election at this stage. But if the coalition parties do garner enough support for whoever the new leader is to become the next Taoiseach, then it won't be necessary.
Okay, thanks for that update, Noel. We'll be keeping a close eye on it, that's for sure. And you never know what news we'll have by next week's podcast. And I want to move on to you now, and you talk on page 3 about refunds for farmers, music to their ears. What has this got to do? I know it's an FBD refund and it's got to do with insurance, but how did this come about?
Yes, refunds for farmers, Rachel, but unfortunately it was an overcharge in the first place. So in recent weeks, FBD's underwriting department wrote to some customers that had been overcharged on their policies. And we know now that these customers were about 7% of FPD's new farm insurance customers that were impacted. So FPD wrote to them, they said they had been overcharged. This became apparent following a review that FPD had and that they were going to refund them. The average overcharge was €63.25. Now, obviously, Rachel, there's some that were charged more than that, some that were charged less than that, so I suppose it depends on the circumstance. But as you said, the good news is that these customers are currently being refunded.
And this new farm insurance, Anne, I suppose this would have affected a lot of younger farmers.
Yes, you would imagine so, Rachel, potentially. All those customers now that have been impacted, as far as I'm aware, have all been written to. So there shouldn't be anybody listening to this podcast that's caught in the hop by this. But you'd imagine it could be a portion of young farmers that are in that 7%.
Okay, and on the same page, Anne, you have that Gardaí were called over threats made to department staff. Where did this happen?
Yes, Rachel. So this information was revealed in the Dáil this week. Minister Charlie McConlogue was responding to a parliamentary question asking if there had ever been any threats made to staff within his department since 2020. And the minister said that there had been verbal, physical and written threats towards staff in his department and that the Gardaí had been contacted a number of times in relation to these threats. So that parliamentary question, Rachel, was posed by TD Carl Nolan, and she said that regardless, she responded to that then after to Minister McConnell's response. Everyone's responding to each other. But yeah, definitely Nolan said that regardless of the policies that are implemented by the department, there should never, ever be a need for a Garda intervention. So yeah, a bit of a sinister one there, Rachel.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and also this week you report on recycling costs and they're on the rise again. I know they rose last year and they're up again. What's the story here?
Yes, Rachel, this will be one that farmers won't want to be reading this week, unfortunately. But the Irish Farm Film Producers Group, they confirmed that there has been an increase in the costs that farmers have to pay to recycle their farm plastic, which we know is in the majority is bale wrap for most farmers. So the cost of bringing a half tonne of farm plastic to a bring centre has risen by €15. So it was €35, now it's gone to 50 if you get your farm plastic collected on your farm. That has risen by €40, so it was €60, now it's €100. So significant increases there in, I suppose, the cost of recycling farm plastic. Also, just to note, of interest, so the recycling, so the farm, the Irish Farm Film Producers Group, a bit of a tongue twister, they deal kind of in two areas. That's the cost of recycling farm plastic, but also they put a recycling levy on farm plastic. So, and that the recycling levy is placed on the companies who sell the plastic. So that's quite significant as well. So the cost, so Liam Maloney from the IFFPG, he confirmed me that the cost of a roll of bale wrap, Rachel, is going to go from, just to make sure I have my figures right here now, it's going from €615 to €745. So that's quite a significant increase in that recycling levy that's on a roll of bale wrap. We don't know yet, will that trickle down to farmers? That'll be kind of a wait and see one. It's unclear at this point, but I think just for any farmers listening, it's important to know that this increase has been applied since the 23rd of January of this year. So that's in effect now.
Okay, more price rises for farmers there. Back to Noel, good news for sheep farmers though. You have lamb prices on the rise as well. I think that they're making record prices. Hoggets are making record prices in markets across the country. Darren Carty has the story this week. What's Darren saying, Noel?
Yeah, so Darren has there on page 3 and as well on the sheep trends that there's been yet another rise in sheep quotes. So milk lamb is trading around €10 a kilo and spring lambs are up around the €9 a kilo mark. So this is fairly significantly ahead of where they would have been last year, and factories are hungry for lambs. There's deals being done up to 24 kilos of carcass, and the oat trade as well is still ticking along fairly good with prices of up to 200 to €250 a head being given for, I suppose, what you could call heavy cull ewes. So I suppose there are tight supplies in the system at the minute, and Ramadan was on the 10th of March and the Easter trade, it's just at the end of the month. Easter is coming right after Ramadan, so that will surely keep whatever glut of spring lambs are due to kind of come on the market, it'll keep them moving, keep them cleared, and hopefully keep supplies tight. Just a couple of the figures he has there on the page is that in Tullow, down in County Carlow, there was a record price of €259 for 7 Charlie Cross lambs, topping in at 79 kilos just there on last Tuesday. So the prices, they're fairly high across all categories of sheep. And with the supplies that are in the system continually moving out, it does look like they will keep up, or maybe even see another increase over the next couple of weeks. And then, Rachel, looking back a little further in the paper, you have a bit of an update on milk prices. And like the lamb, milk does seem to be up, but maybe not to the same extent. I suppose, what's the latest news there on milk?
Yeah, and also there's price rises given across the board from all co-ops who announced prices in the last, I suppose, over the last seven or 10 days. The reason Kerry gave was that global consumer demand is improving, which should be leading to improved dairy demand. I suppose that's the reason that they're giving these price rises. And I suppose it's the second or third month now where farmer suppliers have seen these rises. Dairy Gold and Tierlon are the most recent co-ops to set prices for February milk. And they're both offering another price rise this month. There, Tierlon is paying a base of 36.7 cent per litre. All these prices are excluding VAT. And that's not including a seasonality bonus of 2.9 cent per litre, which will obviously be added on top of all non-contracted volumes. There is also a bonus of 0.47 cent per litre to all suppliers who are eligible for the co-op sustainability payment there. And then moving on to Dairy Gold, they announced a base price of 38.1 cent per litre. For the 2 cent per litre, excluding VAT again, will be added to the February price in the form of an early calving bonus. So you have obviously the base prices and all these bonuses on top of it. Lakeland Dairies were the first co-op to announce a price for February supplies, and they increased their base price by 1.43 cent per litre, excluding VAT, bringing their price to 39.43. And lastly, Kerry announced a rise of just under a cent per litre and bringing their base price to 36.2. And they also pay a bonus of 1.9 cent per litre. So I suppose all adding up, milk prices are looking good and they're heading towards the 40 cent per litre mark again.
So now we'll stick with dairy. Our dairy editor, Aidan Brennan, has recorded a piece with Mark Keller, interim CEO of the National Dairy Council. They got together and discussed new research carried out by the NDC on consumer attitudes towards dairy, and it's positive in many ways. So we'll hear their interview now.
Hi folks, Aidan Brennan here, dairy editor at the Farmers Journal. Delighted to be joined now by Mark Keller, acting or interim CEO, I should say, with the National Dairy Council. Mark, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Aidan. Good to be here.
Mark, I see there you've some new research out on, I suppose, consumer attitudes towards dairy. Give us a flavour for what are the things you're seeing in the National Dairy Council.
Yeah, thanks, Aidan. Yeah, look, we're pleased to share some what is good news in terms of consumer attitudes towards the dairy industry, probably at a time when farmers, particularly dairy farmers, may not feel that there's a lot of good news going around. What we're looking at, Aidan, is just general consumer attitudes towards dairy industry. And ultimately also brand association with the NDC as being the spokespeople for the dairy industry and particularly dairy farmers around the country. So what we're looking at is ultimately a process where we have been testing the market since May of last year and up to recently February of this year to get a kind of a consistent run of results to check in on those attitudes. And what we're looking at is consumers' attitudes and I suppose towards the dairy production system, and therefore that social license to produce arena, and that's much in the airways now. And secondly, we're looking at the consumption side, which is the nutritional benefits that dairy provides for consumers of all ages, and the link between consumption and production in the sustainable diet and sustainable production space. So in effect, the good news is that what we're seeing since May of last year is a consistent 66 to 70%, or 67 on aggregate across the 5% of consumers asked, trusting dairy farmers in Ireland to be looking after and taking care of the environment while looking to produce that nutritious milk product. And that's a key score, and that's compared to 47% in 2022. So that's a significant increase that we've seen over the since we started this new process of measuring through the year in May of last year. So that's the first point. The second is in terms of attitudes towards dairy is being, you know, recognized as part of a healthy and balanced diet. We've 83% of consumers recognizing that, and that's been consistent right through. And that's also up significantly since 2022, as is the consumer's view that dairy can be seen and be part of a sustainable diet. So number of questions, Aidan, that lead into those scores, and they're the key scores. And then behind that, of course, there's a lot of information regarding breakdown on numbers and demographics and so on.
Mm. So I suppose a couple of things. Is this a representative sample? Because I often hear, you know, if you go on social media, it depends on what page you're looking at, you'll hear negativity towards dairy. So this, the fact that these scores are all going the right direction, I suppose it's important and it's significant. But, you know, how real is it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First of all, we have employed the services of a reputable consumer market research organization known as called Opinions Market Research. They're well known in the industry for lots of research they provided on behalf of Board B and others. Look, the process they use is called an omnibus online process. It's 1,000 consumers interviewed across a variety of backgrounds, age profiles, rural and urban divide, and diversity mixed in as well. So each time they have done it. So we've had 5 research dips, as they're called, since May of last year, most recently last month. And each time it's a different 1,000 consumers across the market. So it's very much represents the Irish public. And it just, you know, important to say, as you asked the question, that Opinions, you know, use those AM or ORO guidelines for research mechanics. So yeah, we're pleased with it.
So the next question then is, based on your good research showing a positive result, why? why do you think you're seeing this, or what has changed, I suppose, or has anything changed?
Well, look, I mean,
maybe it's too early to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I can say is, and if I may, I can put maybe some credit up for the NDC first and foremost. I mean, deliberately 2 years ago, we knew that we needed to even ourselves pivot somewhat in terms of how we communicate on behalf of the Irish dairy industry, and particularly Irish dairy farming families. And that is, you know, what is facing the industry. And we all know that climate is a big challenge. And therefore, it's going behind the scenes to understand, well, what are dairy farmers actually doing, and how are they recognized for the work they're doing on the ground? I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, the industry is on a journey. And I suppose you could argue like we're all supposed to be on a journey towards targets, climate targets that have been set for us. And we've been telling that story in that production arena, meaning focus on what's happening on the ground. So that's, and I suppose we're asking consumers to continue to grant permission to farmers to produce on their behalf. That's that social license to produce. So I think we've been successful in communicating that by focusing on, and one thing I would say, and I'm really grateful for the support of the dairy industry, and particularly, you know, young farmers out there that are coming up and coming into our Farm Ambassador program and speaking themselves about what's happening on the ground. And that's reflective in the advertising campaign as well. So I think that shift from maybe being all about the nutrition side of it, and your listeners may remember many years ago the NDC ad of them bones and calcium.
Yeah.
Of course, the nutrition aspect is critically important. It's never changed. It's important as part of a balanced diet. But actually what we're sharing with consumers is that, look, this is what the dairy industry is doing to provide the product we put in our tea and our cornflakes, and recognizing equally the nutritional benefits and the credentials that dairy has in providing those essential benefits as consumers grow from literally children all the way up to active aging adults. So that's critical. And that's the journey we've been on, particularly for the last 2 years, and will continue in 2024.
Yeah, and that shift has been significant, like, hasn't it? Because, you know, before it was all about, as you say, the nutritional benefits of milk, which are real and there and present. Mm. But towards that social license to farming, we've seen the ads, everyone has seen the ads on TV with the NDC ambassadors. So that's something that you reckon is going to continue. Do you think that those ads in particular, and From the Ground Up, I think was the name of the campaign, has really resonated with the public?
Yes. I mean, again, part of the research was to check in on that and to check, you know, the NDC brand association under a number of different headings, but particularly about being that trusted voice. you know, the go-to to understand, well, I might hear a lot of things about the dairy industry in the mainstream media, but what actually is happening on the ground? So you're absolutely right. And in fact, the evolution of that story is to tell what dairy farmers are doing in 2024 from a climate-focused perspective, what all the initiatives, and there are many, as you know, Aidan. There's no one silver bullet to climate and for all of us in every aspect of life. But what dairy farmers are doing today, the journey they're on, how they're progressing, and we will continue to tell that story. But equally, the nature-based part of our communication message is because the farmers are actually on the ground. All 17,500 dairy farming family enterprises around the country. You know, producing that infamous you know, highest quality milk that consumers in Ireland and internationally are used to experiencing, and we see that as really important. And I think that the results are definitely showing that consumers are getting it. And while we also know that we have a job to do with younger consumers, and I think that's probably not a surprise, but that data tells us how we shape the message in 2024 and how we talk to younger consumers. Because I guess at the end of the day, I mean, in our own program, I stress a lot the imperative to ensure that we have increased the consumption of dairy in young children, particularly school going children, as part of a balanced lunchbox, for example. Mm. You know, their parents are in that under 35 category. And as we all get older and the farmers all get older, if we don't continue to address the challenge of sharing the benefits of both a production system that's on its own climate journey, the nutritional benefits of that product, we'll lose an entire generation of both consumers and possibly even future farmers. So we feel that we have that strong a role and responsibility to advocate for the social license to produce and to inform the consumer about the essential benefits of dairy as part of a healthy lifestyle.
And Mark, has there been a shift, we'd say, particularly among the younger consumer? I'm thinking now towards the move towards veganism. Mm. Like Veganuary was a big thing 3 or 4 years ago. I don't hear that as much now. Maybe I'm just not seeing it, but I don't hear it as much, at least. Has there been a shift away from that? Or is this reflected in trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say, and particularly simply take a look at the development of the cafe coffee culture over the last number of years. And when you go into any reputable coffee shop, you'll see all sorts of varieties you'll have dairy and then you'll have other dairy alternatives on offer. And yes, groups and the plant-based industry is making a big play for that space. But in reality, you know, we can choose to be defensive against veganism, which I guess is a small part of the population of Ireland. And look, everyone's entitled to make a choice. And that's our role to provide the facts for consumers to make an informed choice. But in reality, I think that the consumers, the younger consumers, for sure, get an awful lot more information in real time today. And then, you know, the digital space, the digital zone where these kids hang out, it's important that we show up there with messages that help and guide them. Now, I'm pleased to say that since May of last year, when we started this process, while the level of trust and the level of belief of dairy being part of a balanced diet is lower than, say, 55 pluses, it still has improved by 8% overall since we started the campaign. But that's not enough for me to rest and say, right, we've turned a corner. And we have turned a corner somewhat, but we must continue to educate and use the Farm Ambassador Program. I have to say I'm pleased with some of the collaborations we've had with AgriAware, for example, on the ground in schools and school programs. But equally in making sure that when consumers are looking for information, that the NDC is the voice of trust for them. And it's how we present it in ways that they can digest. And sometimes that means, you know, in social media world, you've got 3 or 4 seconds to make an impression. Yeah. So we know, and we're looking at ways to be cleverer in how we communicate this year. And in fact, we've even taken some guidance from we have regular farmer ambassador meetings. I'm sure, you know, they're in that same age bracket. They'll tell you about where they show up in social media. So, look, the great thing about having the data is it allows us to point our efforts in the right direction on behalf of a dairy farmer.
Yeah. So the big TV ads that I would be looking at are not necessarily what the younger kids are looking at. So you need to be in both spaces, really.
Do and you know, yeah. it's in fairness, sometimes you might be talking to some farmers or even members of our board, if I may, and they may be not seeing some of the activity because it's not in where they're getting their information. But on a serious note, we also have to make sure that we're getting a stronger voice in the contested space as well. And that's something that's really important. And I will state for fact that the NDC is marketing and communicating on behalf of Irish dairy farmers. Mm. We're consumer facing and we must stay there. But equally, we also have to ensure that we're getting a fair share or an opportunity to share what dairy industry is doing as well in its part. To do its part in terms of that climate objectives. You know, consumers, I think today, and you asked the question earlier, what changed? I think that consumers today, and particularly younger ones, are more sensitive about where their product is coming from and the decisions they're making about their lifestyle and connecting their lifestyle with what they're consuming and what they're buying. And, you know, dairy in Ireland has a huge role to play in that as it evolves in its transition towards, you know, a greater and more efficient and more climate focused industry. Huge strides have been made already, often not spoken about. Mm. But it's a journey and we have to be cognizant of that. And we will continue to tell that story so that consumers can get the facts. They know where to get the facts and then they make their own choice based on those facts.
Yeah, and it's so important, hugely important area, obviously. The funding role, Mark, obviously, look, I know there's been an increase in funding for the NDC over the last few years. Are you well funded enough or do you need more funding or where's your head at in that regard?
Well, look, we're grateful that with the addition of new members, most recently, like Dairy Gold, for example, coming on board. The greater number of co-ops that are contributing to the NDC as a not-for-profit, we're just putting it all the way back into representing the dairy industry. I suppose you could say for every not-for-profit, we could always do it more. But equally, we're looking at other alternative opportunities in the associate member space, because I think there are many organizations out there that work with the dairy industry where I think that you could say directly or even indirectly, there's a benefit for a very strong and sustainable dairy industry into the future. So we've been speaking to a number of parties and we see that as another opportunity. But listen, I won't rest if there's opportunity for funding. It's there. And obviously with good governance, we'll make sure that it's invested back into representing every dairy farmer in the country.
Yeah, good. Well, it's good to see the investment that is being made on behalf of dairy farmers going to good work and showing positive results from that recent survey results anyway. So, listen, Mark, keep up the good work. Thanks for coming in to talk to us and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Thanks, Aidan.
Thanks to Aidan for that piece. It really did give a good insight into the work being carried out by NDC. And it's good to see that there are more and more people now trusting farmers to look after the environment. So that's all we have time for this week, folks. I'd like to thank Noel Barden and Anna O'Donoghue, who joined me earlier at the start of the podcast, and also Aidan Brennan for that piece with Mark Keller. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.